Who would have ever thought that the United States could lose its way and find itself on a slippery slope to becoming a banana republic in which political power is typically determined by coups rather than elections? But it appears many in the Democratic Party are willing to go down this road and risk the nation's continuity and stability in a desperate effort to regain power and control. So writes Scott Powell in a recent article. Scott Powell is a senior fellow with the Discovery Institute, and we're going to talk about this article right now and this whole concept. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Scott, welcome back to the program. I appreciate you being on.
Thank you, Jerry. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, those words sound awfully extreme to me.
Well, they're extreme to you and probably many of the listeners because we have a normalcy bias. What a normalcy bias is, that it's a subconscious part of us that assumes the future is going to reflect the past. So we've been living with a Republican form of democracy where there's been peaceful transition of power through elections. This has been our story. This has been our history. This is what we live in. But we are now in uncharted waters where the changing of power could happen through an impeachment. I don't frankly think it's going to happen. I think that it's another I think the current Ukraine impeachment hearings are going to fail as badly as the Russian collusion hearings, the Mueller report, Russian collusion hearings. There's just not a case to be made.
Mm-hmm.
But if there was an impeachment for grounds that are not a high crime and misdemeanor, no one's perfect. We know that. We are all sinners. We all fall short. And our elected officials fall short. And so the bar for impeachment is a very high one. It must be a high crime. It must be something akin to treason, sedition, basically undermining the country. And bribery would fall in that category, too, if there was truly, you know, bribery. You know, the most controversial thing about Hillary Clinton was that she was out there making deals with foreign countries to fund her charitable trust for a quid pro quo. In other words, she would become elected and then she could deliver something that would help that country. This was absolute scandalous and she's walked away from it. But let's focus on Donald Trump.
All right. That's an interesting point. Okay, let me first of all, I just want to throw this out historically. One of the most important days in the history of the whole world, 6,000 years of recorded history, March 4, 1797. What happened? Okay. George Washington stepped down as our first president under the Constitution.
That's right.
And John Adams was sworn in. Peaceful transition. Peaceful transition. No bloodshed, no coup. And to me, what really threatens this, it's the mentality of Saul Alinsky. Saul Alinsky kind of intellectually mentored, if you will, Hillary Clinton and even Barack Obama. And the idea of Alinsky is Machiavelli, only Machiavelli said Saul Alinsky wrote his stuff, the ends justify the means, on behalf of the haves. Saul Alinsky was doing it allegedly on behalf of the have-nots. But at the end of the day, it's all about power and not about serving the people or serving anybody except yourself.
That's correct. Saul Alinsky was really provided the guidebook for the left in that day, the radical left of the 1960s, and that guidebook has been adopted by the Democrat Party of today.
You think so? You know, I mean, that's a pretty spurious charge. Do you realize who that book is dedicated to?
Yes, it's dedicated to Lucifer.
Yeah. And I don't even think the way he writes about it in that book. I've even taught seminars about Saul Alinsky and Rules for Radicals, which, by the way, was copyright 1971. It's the culmination of his teaching in the 60s and so forth. And he died just a year later. But as he dedicates the book to Lucifer, he's almost sort of wink, wink, you know, I don't even know that this is a true character. This is, you know, part of our mythology of the past or whatever. But it's still dedicated to Satan right there in black and white.
Yes. If that doesn't sort of get everyone's attention about the potential of that we are in a spiritual war, a spiritual battle for our country.
Okay, going back to, I hate to say this, but did Obama do anything wrong in the transition from his presidency to the Trump presidency? It seems as if, you know, all this stuff about the deep state and the stroke struck, and Lisa Page and, you know, whatever, all these different things where it seemed as if bad actors within the previous administration did a lot to try and, you know, monkey around with the next election. And then when that happened and Trump won unexpectedly, then they seemed to monkey around with the transition from the one to the other. Your comments.
Well, Jerry, you're very kind to say monkeying around. The actions that were taken were seditious and betrayed our Constitution, pure and simple. To politicize the intelligence agencies, and that's what happened. That happened with both the CIA and the FBI. The CIA takes care of overseas intelligence. The FBI is charged with taking care of intelligence matters within the United States. So when the FISA court, the Obama FISA court, was fooled into providing a warrant to basically conduct a surveillance and access to one person, but really to the entire campaign of Donald Trump, that was an unprecedented action that betrayed our Constitution in every fundamental way.
Do you think that the impeachment process is being abused?
It's absolutely being abused. This is absurd, and I think the American people are waking up. The polling data that I've seen in the last few days suggests that support for impeachment is dropping, so that the Democrats are embarking on an unpopular course, and it may cost them seats. You have to assume that people have a memory, and when they feel that power is being abused, they don't want to vote that party. They don't want to give them more power. They want to take power away from the party that abuses it.
Does an alleged criminal who's charged with a crime or whatever, do they have more constitutional protection than, say, President Trump does, according to the way Adam Schiff has been, regulating these impeachment inquiry hearings?
Well, you make a good point there, Jerry. That is what's been going on. The presumption of innocence, which is so much part of our legal system, our Constitution and legal system, has been turned on its head. Donald Trump is presumed guilty of crimes, Donald Trump is put in a position of having to prove his innocence. This is a fundamental betrayal of our American tradition and our American ways.
Your article mentions Brett Kavanaugh and what happened to him. And that's, by the way, that was a grave injustice as well. Here is a guy, especially on the issue of his relation with women. The guy has a record as a judge of empowering more women than any judge before him, including, any of the ardent feminists that sit on the high court. And then he gets accused of doing something horrible, of which if he had done that, he should have been, not allowed to be seated on the court. But the story was so uncorroborated. And, it's so false in that he was the guy. If something terrible happened to that lady, there's no way that Kavanaugh was the guy involved because of the timeline that they presented and everything. But it's like, it's terrible that they virtually ruined this guy's character in the minds of millions of fellow Americans, Scott.
Well, I think that Americans will judge Brett Kavanaugh by what he does on the court. I think increasingly, people are recognizing that the Democrat Party is desperate. They wanted to block the nomination of a pro-life judge, and so they pulled out all the stops to destroy him. But there's a price to be paid for that, and I would just hope, and I would remind your listeners to remember, and to the extent you can influence your neighbors, you don't want to give more power to a party that abuses power. Even if you don't understand all the issues, you know, international affairs, economic affairs, domestic economic affairs are very complicated. The average person's working very hard. They're taking care of their family. They don't have time to follow all the actions. And by the way, the forefathers understood that. And really, the forefathers had faith in the American people that they could at least be able to recognize abuse of power. And when they recognized abuse of power, they would vote against that party and that candidate.
The media, have they been complicit in some of this?
The media is absolutely complicit in this. The media, the media has become an arm of the Democrat Party, and but I think there's hope. I mean, we're seeing the rise of alternative institutions and media institutions. You're one of them, Jerry. There's many more of these. People are no longer relying on the media to get their understanding of what's happening. They are turning more and more towards more reliable sources. And I must say that Donald Trump, like David who brought down Goliath, it is Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone that has brought down the legacy mainstream media. And, you know, and we can thank Donald Trump for relentlessly reminding Americans that the mainstream media is unreliable. And we'll have to see how it unfolds. You know, we may have media that goes out of business. Let's hope that if they're not doing their job to report the news, that they're forced out of business by economics.
How about a comment on the social media, since that's where most young people get their news today? And there does seem to be, obviously, a leftward bias there as well. I'm sure you've heard about some of James O'Keefe's work with Project Veritas, where he's found, you know, incredible bias at Google, Facebook, and Twitter.
Yes, the social media, the big institutions of social media, and you've named them, Google and Facebook in particular, they are biased. They're run by a millennial generation that has lost its connection to the heritage of the country, and they are collectivist by nature. That is to say, they believe in groupthink, and the groupthink they've adopted is a very liberal view. And that groupthink sees the opposition, if you will, or people outside of the groupthink. That would include average Americans, that would include independents, that would include Republicans, that would include the vast majority of American people, actually. They see them as, you know, not being, they don't want to bring them into the fold. So they are blocking many. You know, many people, you know, are being sort of disenfranchised by these large institution social media, and it's a shame. And I hope that they'll wake up and recognize that if they're running a business, they need to cater to all people.
Do you think that permanent damage to our institutions could be done through this ongoing process, you know, this attempt essentially to get Trump at any cost, to essentially try and undo the election results of 2016? And we have 30 seconds to close.
Yes, I do. When you trivialize the impeachment process, you are undermining a very key part of our Constitution. Our Constitution provides for the transition of power to be done through elections peacefully. And when you trivialize it by bringing an impeachment on a weak basis for political reasons, and it is for political reasons, and most people recognize that, you are doing what the founders did not want to have happen. Wow. They recognize that politics has to be fought out at the ballot box. It has to be fought out in the world of ideas, not through an impeachment process. So this impeachment process is weakening our country, weakening our Constitution, and let's hope that it fails.
Wow. Okay, Scott Powell, discovery.org. Thank you, Scott. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.
Sure. Bye-bye now.